Little things seemed different, but mostly I was amazed at how much seemed the same. The same cafeteria, and especially the same delicious tea. Bengal spice, celestial seasonings. It was 22 years ago that I first drank that tea there at the Vipassana Meditation Center in Shelburne Falls. And every time, these many years since, that I drank that cup of tea, I was transported there. To that first meditation retreat when I was first learning to practice so many years ago. So when I returned this February, 22 years later, I was happy to find that same tea waiting for me during the lunch break. And it was delicious. The same meditation hall, and I sat in the same place, and the teacher's words rang out in the hall, rang out again inside me. And he said in his thick, deep accent, "All things arise and pass away. Arise and pass away." And there I was, 22 years later. I was 20 the last time I sat in that room. Remember for a moment, friends, your 20-year-old self. Imagine them now sitting next to you. Catalog the differences. For me, I'm now a husband, a father, a minister. I have moved across the country twice, have served as minister to hundreds of people, have been blessed to be brought into the most holy moments of living. I have witnessed the birth of my 3 children and the death of my father, just the beginning. So many changes. And this is the thing about that teaching. Not only is it a reminder of these large, sweeping changes of our lives, these huge differences between ourselves now and 20 years later, but the same teaching holds true from moment to moment. The times of acute pain, the thrashed moments of slicing and tearing, grief explosions within us, the hardest things we face, these too arise and pass away. But it doesn't feel like that in the moment. It feels like this will be forever, that this pain will be forever. And on the contrary, too, that this joy, that this love, that this peace, this beauty, if we hold on to it tightly enough, could also last forever. But the good things, too, these arise and pass away. And we can cause ourselves so much pain, holding on, clinging, grasping to a version of ourselves, our loves, our children, our friends, our country. Instead, the spiritual task before us is to open to what is. Over and over. And this is true especially for me around the 4th of July. It's a curious time for me this year especially. It's the anniversary of my father's death. It was early in the morning of the 4th of July in 2002 that I received the call that he had died just hours after a bypass surgery we thought had gone well. He was in that foggy, exhausted, early surgery recovery place the last time I had seen him, just hours before. We'd been told that he was looking good and that we should go home and get some rest. And then we received the call. And the strange thing about grieving someone you love is that this grief never really leaves. It just kind of changes. When I sat down to write this, I actually had to think through and do the math to figure out when he died. On some level, I wouldn't even have been surprised if it turned out that it was 2012 instead of 2002. Still feels fresh, though the grief has grown and changed for these many years. I would know, though, that it wasn't 2012 because he would have met my boys. He would have been a sweet grandfather. So especially this time of year, I'm very aware of him, and in a special trick of the calendar, his birthday is July 27th. So on some level, he just has this whole month of my heart. And I often realize it's coming because somewhere around June, I get a little blue, nothing dramatic or striking, just a little hint of blue around the edges. And I think of him specifically, and I realize that his dates are coming, that his time is coming. And I remember him, and I often write about him, talk with my kids about him, and return to this grief and see how it's changed. And this year is still another added twist. This time is also my anniversary of sobriety, now 10 years. And I mention it because my sobriety is woven with my father, because he was an alcoholic. And whatever else I learned and received from him, his cooking, his deep love of people, his wide smile, his thick and engaging beard, his deep devotion to those he served, his unflinching presence in the suffering of others, his passion for feasting and the hosting of holidays, along with so many blessings. From him, I also learned about the escape of substance abuse. I learned about lying to myself and to my partner. I learned about shirking off my growth and development. I learned about staying stuck in patterns of self-delusion. Until, finally, with the powerful, differentiated love of my beloved, with the peaceful truth of my purpose on this earth firmly rooted within me and beneath me and around me, I got sober. Or, more precisely, I began the long path of sobriety, began to rewrite a very established family story. Addiction, of course, is not about our families entirely, but for me, it was so woven with my father. And as Mary Oliver says in one of my favorite poems of hers, Flair, I mentioned them here. I will not mention them again. It is not lack of love or lack of sorrow, but the iron thing they carried, I will not carry. All things arise and pass away. Arise and pass away. This is the nature of things. This is growth and change. We long to grow and to evolve, or more precisely, our natural state, our harmonic state, is one of growth and evolution. Opening to the truths of our lives, to the truth of our experience, opening to it and seeing where it leads us. I wrote the first draft of these words on Wednesday the 4th, and I was at Adele's, my favorite coffee shop and writing spot, and there was this charming, bizarre little tradition enacted right across the street from me. Every 4th, regardless of the heat, regardless of the punishing, exceptional heat, actors take to the steps of City Hall and read the Declaration of Independence, dressed up as some of our founding fathers. I respect the commitment of any actor willing to don period garb with the stifling fabrics and many layers upon layers in this already hot and climbing heat. These poor guys, just full sun, just unimpeded sun, so very sweaty. But seeing them, I was reminded of that moment in the improbable story and the long life of our young country. The tenacity and vision of those folks dreaming of a country unfettered by foreign rule. And yes, it was a sexist time, and it was a racist time. Yes, there was a genocide of Native peoples just starting to take root. We are mindful of the romanticized origin story of our nation. That said, the systems of power, the structure that was put in place was special. I commend to you all the book Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernov, made famous by the musical. If you haven't read it, please do. The story of our nation is one of this same teaching, that all things arise and pass away. Since the beginning of this country 242 years ago, it has changed and grown. The systems put in place back then had facilitated this change, but also just as then, the real power was when the passion of the people rising up, catching fire and spreading. The move towards equal rights for women, civil rights, gay rights, all of the movements for justice have been born out of this same vision, this same knowing that the story of this nation is evolving and still undone. Especially now. Especially in hard times, when the country might not reflect what we feel is best, when we await lifetime Supreme Court appointments, when violence is so rampant, when our borders are places of degradation and calculated cruelty, especially in hard times, this teaching matters even more. There is this beautiful book, When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron. And I feel bad about this book because I only ever take it out when I'm up against the wall, when life just feels too much, when the proverbial stuff has hit the fan, shall we say? Just a covered, sad little fan trying to turn its little blades. Only in these times do I take out this book. During sabbatical, we faced some hard stuff, and I took out this book again, and there it was, again, this reminder, again. Chodron writes, "Things falling apart is a kind of testing and a kind of healing. We think that the point is to pass the test or overcome the problem, but the truth is that things don't really get solved. They come together, and then they fall apart, and then they come together again and fall apart again. It's just like that. Healing comes from letting there be room for all of this to happen, room for grief, for relief, for misery, for joy. This hard time is now your practice. This fear, this challenge, this change, and this too will arise and pass away. Just like the sublime moment, just like the beauty, the perfection, this gurgling and sweet baby looking up at you with adoring eyes will soon become the same child, face blotchy with redness and rage, screaming that they don't want you, that you are terrible. The same adoring beloved, so warm, so cozy, so connected, so deeply in love, will be the same broken down tragedy of a human, unable to remember the most basic of requests, apparently incapable of filling an ice tray, putting down the toilet seat, not losing their keys. All things arise and pass away. And our task is to do our work. In the midst of these tides of our living to bend, our living toward justice and love, to swim in this tide, making our lives testaments to hope and to peace, to invest our precious time in what is life-giving and true. I also love sandcastles. For the last 10 years of my life, I've been building sandcastles with some stripe of small sabotaging human nearby. And this is a very particular experience. Just last week, we were at Ogunquit Beach. If you haven't been there, go now. Or even better, go another day early so you can park. What I love about that beach is there's so many distinct areas. A river pours into the ocean right there, creating this beautiful estuary and a long, gradual slope to the beach so that the incoming tide moves very quickly. So it was not only was I building a sandcastle with my beloved two-year-old with this hearty tide coming in also, we would build, and she would decide to make our mountains and towers into a chair, and with great joy would sit down with her whole wonderful self, crushing our beautiful creations. And then she'd squeal with joy as the tides rushed in around us, smoothing down what we had built and she had squashed. And I smiled. It was beautiful. And after hours in the sun, after watching the boys swimming out into the water, exploring the waves, after holding Aaliyah's little hands and flinging her up above the incoming waves and letting her crash down into them, we were all back in the car on the way home, everyone worn out and happy. And I looked at them, so big, so grown. And I thought of another beach, the beach upon which Lauren and I were married so many years ago when this was all beginning. And I thought of my own father driving me in his car so many years ago on one of our many road trips. And I thought of his love for me, and I missed him. And I smiled. Amen.